This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts. Thanks to Michelle Schroeder Fletcher last week for filling in when I was sick with a cold. Thank you, Michelle. You sounded great last week. On today's show, we feature the world premiere of The Mark, a new play by Gretchen Eisnagel at Starkraving Theater, which opens this weekend. And we're listening to a really beautiful piece of music here that's in the show by the director and artistic director, Matt Zarebski. Also opening this weekend is Sue Lu's production of The Water Principle. We'll hear about that in the latter part of the show, so stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts, with me in the KBOO studio, director Matt Zarebski, and that's your music, right?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That embarrasses
just beautiful. Me. You composed that. I love it. I hadn't heard it before. Actress Darcy Lynn, good morning.
Good morning.
Your first time here?
No, it's not, actually.
Actually? No. Oh, no. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. And playwright Gretchen Eisnagel, all from the Starkraving Theater world premiere production of your play, The Mark.
Yes.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome all to Stage and Studio. Now, The Mark is described as a sweeping mixture of fairy tales, noir, and classic literature. Now, there are three acts,
yes.
And I'm going to ask you, Gretchen, are they all separate plays?
They are stories unto themselves, but they're also entwined, both by character and by theme, and they accumulate over the course of the three acts. There are things that are planted in the earlier acts that come to fruition in the third, and so they're entwined quite intimately.
They're separate stories, but they sort of interconnect in sort of a Robert Altman kind of way.
Sure, yeah.
Sure, let's go with that.
I'd love to be compared to Robert Altman.
Who wouldn't? That's great. So the three separate plays also have three characters.
Correct.
And they're all in each play.
No.
No?
Actually, there are three actors. But each actor plays six characters, and what will happen is, for instance, in Act 1, there's a character named Ellen. She's also in Act 2. In Act 1, there's also a character named Lucy. She's in Act 3, but not in Act 2. So what happens is characters float in and out. Each character is in two of the three plays, and then new characters get introduced. So each actor is playing two main characters, and there are also some other auxiliary characters throughout the piece that they sort of shape shift into as the play goes on.
Complex?
Very.
And mesmerizing. Interesting.
Something. We hope so.
We hope so.
So you're directing this, so there are three. Let's start with the first act.
Okay.
Okay.
The Prince.
The Prince.
What's that about?
Gretchen.
There is a local connection in the first act, and that is to the Neil Goldschmidt scandal of a couple of years ago. Well, the Neil Goldschmidt scandal that only came to light a couple of years ago. And it does involve a woman who had some years ago a sexual relationship. I won't call it an affair. We know that that's dangerous. But had a sexual relationship with a man who was much her senior, and at that time the mayor of San Francisco. I've placed it in another immediate context, but it'll probably be recognizable to local audiences.
What about that story struck you so that you wanted to write about it?
It was actually, there was a personal connection to that story, that the Goldschmidt scandal almost gave me the right way into telling that in a fictional way. But I'm also just very intrigued by what I see as an almost natural connection, or unnatural connection, you might say, between the adolescence of politicians and the adolescence of adolescence. I think that there's a connection in the vanity and self-absorption, you know, of teenagers and of people who make it into that kind of public light. And so I was interested in exploring that as well.
Like that adolescence as a state of mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, not necessarily your years.
Yeah.
And I like that it has a local connection to the second play, The Dame.
Well, The Dame is inspired by noir films, particularly Double Indemnity. about the novel and the film.
And that's with Barbara Stanwyck,
yes.
Right?
And in that, the character of Ellen is trying to kind of reconcile things with her mother, but her mother has been murdered. And she sort of does this through an investigation, a conversation with her new boyfriend, Paul. And sort of through an evening, they talk about the murder and try to figure out, through looking at her mother's photographs. Her mother is a notorious photographer. And so they look through her photographs and discuss with each other and try to figure it out. But the daughter has always had this connection with the 40s. And so in her mind, her mother sort of becomes a sort of Barbara Stanwyck from that film. And she's on stage the entire time. And it sort of acts as a bit of a mystery and a bit of a thriller. I mean, not in the overt sense, but there is a sense of intrigue throughout that piece. And it certainly has its own steely tone, I would say.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And the third one is called The Twin.
The Twin.
Yes.
The third act or third play, however you want to look at it.
And in that act, we see Paul, who was the boyfriend of Act Two, come to the fore, and he's confronting the impending death by breast cancer of his twin sister, Jane, to whom he has a perhaps unhealthy connection. He hasn't really been able to let go of her in a way that would let her live her own life, so there's something of a triangle that is there between Paul, his sister Jane, and Lucy, who returns from the first act, that the woman who had the affair with the politician years ago is now in love with this woman, Jane, and so the two of them, Paul and Lucy, are confronting this very unassimilable.
Well, there are very serious themes here. You know, when you say fairy tale, I guess fairy tale usually conjures up, it's all fanciful, but
exactly.
They are dark.
Extremely.
You know, they're very dark stories.
Yeah. The first act actually takes its narrative cue from The Little Mermaid. And, you know, many people these days think immediately of the Disney, but the original tale is
extremely sad.
Yeah,
and it's tragic.
Painful. And similarly, the third act draws on Hawthorne's The Birthmark. And so there is, you know, this sense of these stories which are healing in some ways, but only because they allow us to digest what is very hard and sad.
Now, when you say Hawthorne, you mean Nathaniel Hawthorne?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that where you got the title from The Birthmark, The Mark?
Yeah, although the mark comes to mean many things through through the course of the play, it means in general, I think, the mark of mortality, you know, going back to Cain and Abel, but also the marks that we leave on each other, the marks that we carry through our lives that other people have left on us that we have to learn to live with in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, I want to bring Darcy into this conversation. Which play? Are you in all three plays?
I am in all three plays.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. And you have something for us from one of the plays. You want to introduce that?
Sure. This is a monologue from the third act. I play Jane. And Jane is the sister of Paul who is suffering from breast cancer. I shouldn't complain. I know. People do their best. But it's exhausting when you're already at the end of your tether, having to comfort everyone. Not only for the loss of you, that's strange enough. Trying to reassure them that they'll get by all right when you're gone. I don't know. I'm not sure I want you all to come through this intact. I think I might like you to be a little bit destroyed. No. The really irritating thing is that it's somehow my job to soothe you because I've gone and made you wake up to your own impending death. You look at me and you see your own vulnerability staring back, and I sympathize. I really do. But when you look at me, all shocked and soulful, God, I swear I could just smack you sometimes. Very well done. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guests are actress Darcy Lynn, who just did a reading from playwright Gretchen Eisnagel's play, The Mark. And we also have the director, Matt Zarebski, here, all from the Stark Raving production and world premiere production of The Mark. And it's opening this weekend. Matt, what was it about these series of plays or this play that made you and Stark Raving Theater want to produce and direct it?
Well, I actually love this story. Gretchen is also our literary manager and came into that position prior to being really a known playwright to me. In the midst of a long meeting, she sort of humbly handed me this script, and I, of course, hoped I liked it because I didn't want to say otherwise. And I went home and I read it almost immediately, and halfway through, not only did I like it, but I knew that we had to produce this. And I think the plays that I'm attracted to, it's not so much the story, but how stories are told. I'm really attracted to writers who experiment with storytelling. But with this play, the stories themselves were also absolutely riveting, and they're told in this extremely and expressly theatrical manner. Simple sets, just three characters on stage, people shape-shifting, characters floating from place to place. And I found it to be incredibly sophisticated, and I love the reference to the literary nature of the piece. I thought it would be a wonderful piece to direct.
Well, and you're also, you know, resident at Coho Theater, which is a very intimate theater, and
absolutely.
Three actors there would actually fill the stage, and
compelling. Absolutely, yeah. I saw it very easily on our stage and our space, and I was very fortunate to. I think casting was the part that made me the most nervous, but I have to say I could not be more excited about the three actors that we
Darcy
assembled.
Sounded great in that reading.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Really great. Mm-hmm. Now, what process have you used? Let's start from directorial and playwright to actor in working this play.
Well, the play was very complete when we got it. It did not require a ton of rewriting. We did quite a bit of work on Act 2 to clarify some things and flesh it out a bit. So Gretchen and I have a wonderful open relationship. We trust each other a lot, which is rare sometimes in this business, and we've taken advantage of that.
It's been just a joy, the whole process, I think, for its ease and fluidity and for the level of trust involved in all directions. I just could not be happier with the director and actors here and the work that they're doing, and that they have really helped me to sharpen this script. It's a much better script for this production than it would have been without.
How long were you working on it before the production?
It's been something, the second act, the Betty act, the dame, actually got produced on its own at the Pittsburgh New Works Festival back in the fall of 2004, and that had grown out of something that I had done much earlier. And so that seed, is something that had been sort of gestating for a long time. And then the others were written relatively quickly over during 2005 or 2004. Getting old.
The years blur.
Yes.
But that's great. So it has been a long process, and I think that's a lot. The average audience member would not know is that how long it takes to actually get that play onto the stage.
A long time.
You know, it's not just the rehearsal time here.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
and then we get into rehearsals, and when you cast well, it allows for a director to what I call directing by editing. I mean, I set a blueprint. I know how I want the play to work, how stylistically I want it to work, and I sort of lay out a blueprint for the actors, but then when you have great actors, you know, Darcy can talk a little on this, they bring their own skill set to the table, and you're able to watch, and it's sort of like taking clay and just kind of shaving off here and there and helping them to tighten, but they brought a lot to it.
Yeah, Darcy, what's the process been like for you as an actor?
Well, excuse me, the nice thing about working at Stark Raving Theater and doing new premieres and world premieres and having the playwrights locally be able to participate in the process is that we have a chance to not only bring our own skills to it, but we can converse with the playwright during the process. And so if there's anything
verbally or physically or anything challenging that comes up during the process, or we have questions about intent or history or anything like that, normally the playwright's, you know, not so available. So you have to dig into your own resources and try to figure it out. But in this process, we're able to just reach out to Gretchen or Matt, both of them having so much knowledge of the play, and just say, what's going on here?
Have there been a lot of changes for you with the lines at all, even during, you know, now?
Not a lot. There have been several rewrites, but the thing about the rewrites that have come in during this process are that they make the whole script so much clearer. And so it's a lot easier to understand where the previous scene is coming from and where the next scene is going. So the rewrites are very helpful. And it's just nice to be able to, you know, one evening say, this isn't clear, let's try to figure this out. And by the next rehearsal, which typically the next day, we have a whole new thing going on, and it's inevitably much clearer.
Well, sometimes it's hard for actors, too, when you're used to doing a line, and then it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything's invested in that line and the blocking and everything. Have you had that experience?
Well, normally, if you're so invested in a line that when it goes away, you're lost, there's probably something wrong with it to begin with, because there shouldn't be that much investment in any one thing. In this case, everything that has come in that's new, regardless of how late it's come in, has made things much clearer.
So it's been helpful.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Gretchen took her cue from our rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. The Mark is opening this week. The Mark, a world premiere.
Actually, next weekend.
Oh, it's next weekend?
Yeah,
oh, March 24th. Yeah. Well, time just marches on. A world premiere drama by Gretchen Eisnagel at Stark Raving Theater at Theater 2250.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry, at the Coho Theater. At 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street, opens Friday, March 24th at 8 o'clock. Continues through Saturday, April 22nd, so you got a month to see it. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8 o'clock, and Sundays at 7 p.m. Now, there's a special gala fundraiser. On Saturday, March 24th from 6 to...
25th. March 25th.
Oh, March 25th at 6 to 11:30, and the tickets are $10 to $20 for that, is that right?
They're $35.
Oh, here it is. Okay. So tell us about the gala. What is that?
Well, each year we do a spring fundraiser, and frankly, you know, these fundraisers are usually in some foreign place with so-so food, and, you know, you hear a bunch of speeches.
Right.
And
it's unrelated.
Exactly, and I wanted to relate it to the show that I've fallen in love with, so we decided to do a pre-show and post-show reception, free hors d'oeuvres, desserts, wine, beer, beverages, talks with the entire production team, with the playwright, our 2006-2007 season announcement of all new work. And then right in the middle of that evening, we do a performance of The Mark.
So the gala fundraiser is on Saturday, March 25th. And it's $35 for all seats.
Yep.
And the tickets for the actual production, just, you know, without the fundraiser, is $10 to $20 for reservations. You can call Stark Raving Theater at 503-232-7072. That's 232-7072. Or you can go to StarkRavingTheater with an R-E .org. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to the first two callers here at KABU at 503-231-8032. Matt Zarebski, Darcy Lynn, Gretchen Eisnagel from Stark Raving Theater, thank you so much. And have
a great weekend.
Next weekend, have a great opening. And it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having us, Stephen.
Next up, we have Barry Hunt of Soelu Theater. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me via phone is Barry Hunt, Artistic Director of Soelu Theater. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Dee Mae.
Hey, you're there. You're opening a new play this weekend. It's called The Water Principle, and we played some
Water Music. I don't know if you heard it. It's by Eliza Anderson, and this play is about a woman who won't sell her land because she wants to protect the water underneath. Now, just to be simplistic, is it an ecological drama?
It is, but it functions a little bit more on a metaphorical, maybe magical realism realm, so it's not a kind of hit you over the head piece like that. It's very funny, very poignant, and focuses a lot on the relationships and the values involved and steps beyond any single issue.
Now, the layers, it sounds like, runs mm-hmm. deep, and there are three main characters. One is the main character, Annie. She's the woman who owns the land and wants to protect the water. Mm-hmm. One, a builder who wants her to buy her land so he can build something like a Walmart kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And a man who is a walker and wants her to leave and go with him on this journey. He just walks, walks, walks.
Exactly.
How do these three characters intersect?
Really, she's in a stationary place. She's on the property, and they find her traveling through. They run across her. And so it's even though the setting is in one location, it's in her home. It's kind of a maybe Road Warrior Mad Max traveling piece.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. It's set in the very near future.
Oh, I didn't get that. That's interesting. So what happens when they do intersect?
A lot of relationship develop and her. The difference between the two men start to really come out, and then really it's I don't know, it's hard to kind of giving away the play on any level,
right.
But it's a very fun and interesting piece.
Well, tell us about the cast.
The cast is great. Michael Fetters and I have worked together quite a bit over the years. He was out of town in L.A. for a while, but we worked together at Stark Raving Theater. And he was instrumental initially in forming Suelu, and then he's been away for a while and had a baby and came back. So we actually worked on a play of Eliza Anderson's. Gretchen Corbett directed The Lower Rooms at Stark Raving around 96, 97, and Michael and I both were performers in that. So it's great to be kind of coming back to each other and this material.
And who else?
Deirdre Atkinson, and it's the first time I've worked with her.
I've seen her. She's really great.
Uh-huh, yeah, really nice in this piece, really great set of qualities. And then Daniel Hill also is a newcomer to Portland. He's just moved here from Chicago. And the three of them are just very dynamic and fun, and it's a great combination of people.
Well, what is it you want to say with this play?
What do I want to say with the play? The play's interesting. It fits in the realm of the ideology of Suelu. It really is about values and what do we value and what are the basic things that we carry with us always, and then where are our social trappings or our civilized trappings and how those two things meet. And it's in a kind of long line of the philosophical interest of Suelu theater. So and then another interesting part of it is the design element.
Well, you mentioned Mad Max, so I'm getting all these imagery here, but you have your award-winning design team working on this.
Great, yeah. And with that, what we're working with a little bit, it's very subtle, I believe. The piece is subtle. The design elements are almost retro in a certain way, and we tried to place it, play with the future and the past as in a way that this story could be timeless. But there's a media element to the piece, and we break a few walls with that. And these are things that Suelu's been experimenting with for quite a few years now, trying to find out how media can intersect with theater in a way that is live and interesting and not essentially canned or confining, because theater is a live medium. And I feel like we've discovered that over the years, how media can be live in the experience. And so this piece is kind of the coming together of a lot of thinking and artistic experiments that have happened at Suelu over the years. So I'm very excited about it. It's almost subtle and simple. and in the past, we can get kind of garish in our explorations and try everything. And this is like taking the best pieces of everything we found over the years and just putting it on the right play.
Well, even subtle is big in the Backdoor Theater.
Exactly.
With the 40-seat house, and, you know, you're right there in your face, and that's what I like about it. The Water Principle by Eliza Anderson opens at Sewelo Theater this Friday, March 17th, runs through April 22nd, but don't wait. Go now. Thursdays through Saturday evenings at 8 o'clock. There are two Sunday matinees, April 2nd and 9th at 4 o'clock. All performances are at the Backdoor Theater, and that's located behind the Common Grounds, or is it Uncommon Grounds?
Common Grounds.
Common Grounds. Coffee Shop, 4319 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. If you haven't gone to one of these productions, go, 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 because it's really a great experience. Tickets are $15 on Friday and Saturday. Sliding scales, here you go, $8 to $15 on Thursday, sliding scale Thursday. And Sundays, you can call for reservations at, for everything at 503-230-2090. So is the sliding scale on Sundays, too?
Yeah, it's Thursday and Sunday of the sliding
scale. That's what I didn't put. Yeah. So call for reservations at 503-230-2090. We have a pair of tickets to offer to the first caller at 503-231-8032 here at KBOO. Barry Hunt, Sewelo Theater, thank you for joining us via phone today.
And thank you.
Break legs.
Bye-bye.
Before we go today, here's what's going on around town this weekend. There's a lot of stuff happening. Arts Equity on Stage at the Main Street Theater presents a world premiere. Actually, this is happening next weekend. So, Zany by Northwest playwright and Vancouver native son Connor Kearns is opening on March 23rd through April 30th. And Zany is an absurd romp through the backstage antics of the Randy Repertory, a professional theater company from Seattle, played with such a heightened sexual tension that the performances are palpable, real, and downright breathtaking. For ticket information for Zany by playwright Connor Kearns, call the Arts Equity box office at 360-695-3770. 360-695-3770. Imago Theater presents Hit Me in the Stomach. Yes, that's the title. A music theater work about simple life. Explores the question of why we're obsessed with fulfillment. Hit Me in the Stomach runs March 23rd to April 8th. Tickets are available by calling Imago Theater box office. They're actually $10 to $16, and they're available by calling 503-231-9581, 231-9581, or Tickets West at 503-224-8499. 10 Tiny Dances, produced by choreographer-dancer Mike Barber, performs this Friday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, at 8 to 10:30. The show is at the Wonder Ballroom at 128 Northeast Russell Street. Doors open at 7 o'clock, and it's a different dance every 15 minutes. And they're tiny. They're like a little teeny tiny stage. Food and drink is available during performances for 21 and over. Advance tickets are $15 for an interesting evening on St. Patrick's Day. Lots of dance. Ticketmaster at 503-224-4400. That's where you can call, 224-4400 for advance tickets. Or the Wonder Ballroom box office. You can also get them at the door. And the it's all festival seating, which means it's general seating. So for more info, call 503-331-0436 for information only. And that's for 10 Tiny Dances by Mark Barber. The Vermont-based Bread and Puppet Theater Company will give Portlanders a rare opportunity to experience its brand of papier-mâché counterintelligence at Waverly Heights, UCC, that's 3300 Southeast Woodward in Portland, that's Southeast Woodward, on March 17th and 18th this weekend, starting at 7:30 both nights. The live performance is entitled How to Turn Distress into Success, a Parable of War, and its making, and it's open to all ages. And the admission cost is $8 at the door. For reservations, call 503-351-0550. That's 351-0550 for Bread and Puppet Theater. That's it for Stage and Studio this week. Next week, we present a special Women's History Month documentary about the trafficking of girls in Cambodia. I'm Dime Roberts.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on your dial. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, featuring 100% natural fiber clothing for women and men. Real clothing for real people. Proud to sponsor the important voice of KBOO, Gazelle is located at Northeast 41st and Fremont and can be reached at 503-288-3422.